Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right. Welcome to another Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast. Even though we do NBA, Major League Baseball, and heck, we even opined on the Kentucky Derby a little bit, and we're correct. I love the off-season podcast because there's time to bring on guests. And one of my favorite guests, the guy who's everywhere, who started from nowhere and now is everywhere among the big boys, my sports update, Ari Meroff. And we're proud to say, this was the first podcast you ever did. This is the your coming out was on the Pro Football Doc podcast. And look at you now. We've launched a superstar.
That is all true. The first ever appearance that I ever made was on the Pro Football Doc podcast. It was the first time anyone ever saw my face, at least in the sports world. And here I am coming back on, and you could officially have the title, put up the banner, the first person to ever discover me.
Well, lots of people discovered you before. I just knew you were good, and you were kind enough to agree to come on. But, you know, 3% commission something. No, just kidding.
I'm looking for an agent.
No, well, you're everywhere. I'd say you're among the big boys now, right? The breaking news and reporting. Tell us about that a little bit, since, you know, how the rocket ship, so to speak. I mean, you were doing this part-time, and now you're just killing it everywhere and busy as can be.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. I mean, it's been a crazy ride, if I'm being honest with you. I never thought it would get to this point when I started just a Twitter account as an avid NFL fan who loved the news element and just wanted to put everything out there. This is back in 2013, so we're talking 10-plus years ago now. And it was around, I don't know, 2017, 2018, when I basically had, you know, players reaching out and agents reaching out and reporters reaching out. And it's like, that's when I knew I was doing something right. So as you said before, this was more of a side hustle for the first 5-6 years, just putting all the NFL news in one spot. And as time went on and as more people followed and more people appreciated the fact that there was one place for all the information, accurate, timely, organized, it ended up becoming something where it grew and grew to a point where about 3-4 years ago now, Pro Football Focus, PFF, reached out and they were like, who in the world runs this account? Who are you? Can we meet with you? And they were like, let's have a meeting. And they were like, we would love to hire you as our official news guy, but on one condition: you must, you know, put your face out there. You must put your name out there. Because initially the account name was just NFL Updates. So they told me, like, you could drop your real estate job, make this your full-time thing, and you could go to events like the Combine, the Super Bowl, where of course I met you back there. Yes. And from there, I've now made this into my full-time thing, where I've basically learned how the sausage is made in the NFL, how the news-breaking industry works. And it's very fascinating, very interesting. And here we are now in 2024, where I've basically been able to learn everything about the game, develop those relationships, and keep on growing as the years go by.
So what's the biggest surprise about that you found out about, quote, how the sausage is made?
You know, there's so many layers to it. I mean, when I was starting off with this entire thing, I never fully knew where information really comes from, like who's the people giving it out and all those different type of things. And the more you get into it and the more you learn the game and front office structures and the way each team operates and the people representing players and so on and so on, you really learn the behind the scenes of the game and you really learn just when they want information out and when they don't, and how it all operates. I mean, you really have to fully understand the behind the scenes and really learn it to fully understand what I mean. But like free agency, draft, during the season, who's active, who's inactive, who's signing where, who's not signing where, who a coach likes, who a coach doesn't like, what goes on in locker rooms, what is supposed to be made public, what are you supposed to keep private, how you might burn relationships, all these different things, you start learning all about this stuff. And the more you do it, and as the years go by, it's like more and more fascinating. And like the amount of stories that people in my industry, I guess, know, but we don't report on is crazy. So there's so many things that we just hold in our back pockets just to keep trust. And it's really fascinating.
There's no question about that. I'm not a reporter, right? I just do injury analysis, and I'm very thankful because for the most part, I can just say what I want and I'm not going to offend anybody for the most part. I've gotten in trouble myself before, but what you do in terms of the juggling act, and as I've spoken to you or other reporters, there's no question you all know a lot more than you're letting on. And you're rarely wrong because you know a lot more than you're actually saying. So therefore, there's a lot of background to it. One time I got in trouble because I saw a guy as a patient, but I had forgotten that I had seen him as a patient. And then I said some things about the guy from video, right? From what I did. And then I got the call from the agent. What in the play? What are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I like, you know, I saw you 2 years ago about that. I didn't remember that. And then I see this new injury come and I let fire with what it is. But in general, because I don't have sources, thankfully, I wouldn't be able to keep it straight. As my wife says, I can't remember. Her running joke with me is she's got to tell me the schedule for the kids 3 times before I understand. And she always gets mad at me. And I'm like, well, are we on time number 2 right now? Right. So I got one more to ask you. I can't keep things straight. So I wouldn't be able to do what you did at all. I just go by what I see currently and let fly. No sources. And I make a point of when I do talk to people who are in the league, current medical guys or athletic trainers, I never ask him any questions that right. could get me in trouble because I don't want and they probably wouldn't tell me either, but I don't ask him to reveal any insider information stuff. So what's on the cusp of, I'm like, the NFL news cycle is 365. We know that. What are the things that are on your radar screen right now that you're really following closely or that are about to maybe happen?
Well, once the draft comes to an end, this is really when the off season actually starts, the off part. Obviously, free agency is over, draft is over. For the most part now, there are rookie mini camps going on. But for me personally, like we start having everything really slowed down. But the things that we're still keeping an eye on, there are going to be a lot of contract extensions coming up for a lot of really, really good players, some huge money coming in, whether it's the receiver market with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb to the offensive lineman, Tristan Wirfs. You have defense, potentially Micah Parsons, quarterback, Dak Prescott, and on, so many really big names. In the coming weeks and months, we're going to see some big time money going out. And also, once the draft is over, you have 32 teams who are adding anywhere from, you know, 6 to 10 players in the draft, plus a lot of undrafted free agents. That usually means that there might be players who were on the roster before the draft to become expendable. So we're keeping a pretty close eye on the trade market to see if there are any players who could be traded here. Some names that I've been keeping an eye on, Marshon Lattimore, the Saints cornerback, I think could be an interesting one. Treylon Burks, the Titans receiver. So those are the type of things that we're closely monitoring. I don't think anything is imminent per se, but that's usually what's going on over here post-draft.
Gotcha. So at Pro Football Doc in Sports Injury Central, we actually, this almost ramps up because during the off season, no one talks about injuries. There's no injury reporting. There's no updates. And now as people show back up at mini camps and other things, you get video of Kirk Cousins throwing. Okay, so what is he doing? What's he like with his Achilles? You get word about Anthony Richardson and his shoulder and some Deshaun Watson word. So our stuff actually starts to ramp up a little bit now with the leak of information. And so far, no big surprises. Look, Kirk Cousins, you know, I tweeted, he's not 100% on his Achilles. He's not fully pushing off, but it's May. You know, he's got months. He's going to be fine. And I remember when Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, the number one question I got asked on McAfee's show, and you're on that all the time now too, was, is he done? He's going to be 39 when he comes back. I'm like, I guarantee you he's not done, and he's 100% cleared now. Kirk Cousins will be fine as well, which is a, but they're not there yet kind of thing. So our news cycle ramps up now since we get more information to analyze.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins is probably a great example of that. Like, even like we just saw the Falcons draft a quarterback at number 8, mm-hmm. which as a result made a lot of people question, like, oh, wait, is Kirk Cousins' Achilles 100%? And I made calls about that just to make sure, because you probably remember this last year, the Jimmy Garoppolo situation where he signs with the Raiders mm-hmm. and he fails his physical. Then people discover his contract where it's like, oh, wow, there's an addendum in there that if he can't pass his physical when the season starts, the whole contract can void. So I wanted to make sure Kirk Cousins doesn't have that in his, and he doesn't. His contract basically said as long as he continues to do all the proper recovery with the team in regards to his Achilles, the contract is going to be fine and nothing can be null and voided. So he is clearly on track, like you said, and it's going to take some time, but I fully anticipate him being ready for at the latest week one.
Yeah, is his Achilles 100% today? No. Will it be by the start of the season and it won't affect his play? It will be fine. Yeah, I think mm-hmm. we're on the same there. And we actually said Penix, despite his multiple ACL tears, didn't have a significant downgrade in our eyes. No. And obviously he went pretty high. He had a shoulder issue too, but Penix is actually fine there. Let's switch gears a little bit. What did you think of the Brady roast? I know you did a bunch of things. I actually found it relatively entertaining. My only problem was I was watching it with my 7-year-old in the room and she was on her iPad watching YouTube videos, and she actually was sitting in my lap, and then she's like, "Daddy, all these bad words, that's the F word again." And then mom gets home and she's like, "They said the F word with the N at the end, F," and you know that. I'm like, oh, now I'm in trouble. I didn't realize she was listening. I thought she's watching the thing. What did you think about that whole roast thing?
I had no expectations going in, and I would not. Thankfully, there were no children around me while watching, but it was entertaining. I mean, I think like going in, like I really had no idea what to expect. Like, first of all, like, why is Brady even agreeing to this? And like, I knew that there were jokes there that were like, it was just low hanging fruit to deal with them, right? And I was like, will they do those, and how excessive will it go? And they went at him, like they unloaded. And I thought it was very entertaining. I mean, I thought it was great seeing Gronkowski and Edelman and Moss and Belichick and Kraft and everyone together. I think it was like they said, it was like a little bit of a family reunion, hearing all these stories and taking all these shots and everyone just coming together, Peyton Manning showing up. I mean, like, Ron Burgundy showing, like, you couldn't get out of your seat because it kept on getting better and better. And that's what made it so great, because usually these roasts, by the way, they're usually pre-recorded and edited. This was live. So like, you had no idea what to expect because there was no editing at all. So I think that's also what made it as great. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I kind of wonder, will there be more NFL players who do this? I mean, who could be next? I have no idea.
But that was really interesting. So here are my thoughts. First of all, I stumbled onto it by accident. You know, thankfully I did, you know, and saw it. I didn't get to finish it all because of the F words. I was like, okay, the kids, I got to, you know, go back and watch them. But I watched enough of it. Everybody was there, as you said. What about Roger Goodell? Where was Roger Goodell?
Brady asked the same question. Where was he? it would have been, I think that would have been the cherry on top if they were able to get Roger Goodell there and have him show up at the end and roast Brady, and then Brady does right after and gets to say his piece. I think that would have been a perfect ending. But besides for even like Roger, but like even like everyone thinks of Bill Belichick as a very specific person as a coach, and now we're seeing this other side of him, and it's like that part of it makes it so much better. Like, we had Belichick on the McAfee show, on the draft, that was awesome. Seeing Belichick roasting and being this other side of him, like, that's the Bill Belichick I would love to see, and it's pretty incredible.
There's no question. I've known for a while there's this other side that, you know, we're on to next Sunday, the next opponent, you know, not answering questions and dour. It's all part of the of what he does as a head coach. But personally, I can tell you, he certainly has been very, very, very funny. You know, there's so many, we won't rehash the Dave Benn Pro Bowl story. People have heard it on this podcast, but just to show you that 1 year, Dave Benn, our long snapper with the Chargers, was on the team. Belichick in Hawaii asked him, and he said it on this podcast. Benn was on this podcast. Belichick asked him, where's your girlfriend? He was dating Pamela Anderson at the time. And, Ben said, oh, she's not going to make it. And Bill goes, so remind me why we invited you.
There you go. He's got
he definitely does have that ball buster sense of humor. Now, the Goodell thing, was it scheduling couldn't make it? Was he not invited? Did he take a pass? What, any thoughts on that or theories?
I don't know if he was invited. I also don't know if he would have showed up. I mean, considering how harsh everyone went at everyone, I mean, I felt like there was a roast of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski for most of it. I mean, I felt bad for Rob. But if Roger was actually on the dais, I don't think he would have heard the end of it, because it's not just what his relationship with the Patriots. I think there's a long history of stuff people could attack Roger on if it's unfiltered. So I think he probably made the right decision of not showing up if he did get an invitation.
Yeah, and so here's my thing. At least what I saw, Kim Kardashian caught some boos. Who would have been booed more, Roger Goodell or Kim Kardashian, if he would have shown up?
I would say still Kim, by far, in my opinion.
All right, sounds good. So do you think Tom was genuinely upset with the reference to his owner and the massage?
I've actually thought about this a lot, which is hilarious. Why am I thinking about this so much? But later in the roast, after Robert Kraft spoke, Kevin Hart said, we're not making any Robert Kraft jokes tonight. And then he called up Robert Kraft to do the shot with Bill Belichick. So I think there was kind of an agreement behind closed doors. We're not taking any shots at him. And Jeff Ross was like, I'm doing it, I don't care. And as soon as he did it, Tom Brady was like, don't you ever do that again. And I think it was genuine. I think it was serious, because there was a lot more stuff that was said that should have angered Tom Brady. And if that specifically did, I feel like there was something said that, hey, we're not touching Robert here tonight. And somebody did, because the rest of the night, we saw everybody get roasted. There was only one time Robert did it, and it was that moment. So I think it was real.
Well, that's interesting, because in some ways, you bring up that there might have been agreement. I don't know. I was thinking maybe Tom was just saying, look, I agreed to be roasted. Robert Kraft didn't agree to be roasted. So, I mean, you know, right? I mean, look, Gronk didn't agree to be roasted, but he agreed to be on stage, which kind of made him the target, right? Kraft was in the audience, right? And that's potentially a little bit different. I don't know. But, yeah, that was interesting. All right, the other part of it I wonder is, yes or no, did Tom admit to Deflategate?
I've watched it back a few times. I've had a few people tell me, like, I'm misreading it. I thought he did. People have been telling me, like, if you guys were going to spend $20 million and still say I did it, then why not just give me the $20 million and that's it? I kind of read it in a way where it's like, yeah, I did it. So I thought that's what he was saying. I thought he was confessing. But it also makes no sense. Why would he? At the same time, also, he had a few drinks, but then it was also on a teleprompter. So I've been going like back and forth on this one. I thought he did initially. The more I think about it, the more I've kind of started leaning like, no, he didn't. But at the same time, I'm sure if you ask me again tomorrow, I'll probably tell you again that he did. So I've been really torn on that one.
Yeah, I've always been somewhere in the middle. Like, it's no secret that he liked the balls softer, right? Now, did he give instructions to make it illegal and deflate it after the referee check is the question. And did that happen is the question. But, you know, having been in locker rooms and other things, if you tell a guy that if the star quarterback or the kicker or the punter says, I like my football scruffed up in this way and prepped in a certain way and, you know, as rough it up as much as possible, the ball boys are going to go to all the ends of the earth to like make it. So if he made it known, I like it. I mean, the question is, did Tom order it to be illegally and was it really illegal? But I don't see it as a confession. I think it was really more of a joke in terms of what's happening. All right. Final Brady question. Who is more likely to come out of retirement, Tom Brady or JJ Watt?
Wow.
I mean, that's been in the news right now. J.J. Watt says D'Amico Ryan's calls. He's there. Who's more likely, J.J. Watt and Tom Brady?
I think Tom Brady is done. I really genuinely believe he's done. I would not be – I also do think J.J. Watt is done, if you're going to ask me on both. But if you ask who's more likely, I think J.J. simply because when he retired, the teams he was on, which was Arizona and Houston, both – stunk, and now all of a sudden Houston is like really good, and D'Amico was a former teammate of his and he loved that guy. So if there's a situation where Houston is actually really good again this year and they're at the top of the AFC and they need pass rush help, I wouldn't rule it out. Also, just as a jolt for the team and for the city that we have JJ back. Do I consider it unlikely? I do. He's working for CBS now. He got a really, really good gig on the NFL Today desk, no longer having Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason in there. So if he leaves, then I don't think he's getting that back. So I don't think he comes back. But if you ask me which one is more likely, I would lean JJ over Tom.
Yeah, partly because of the legacy, right? And Houston and whatever. Look, if Tom had a spot back with the Patriots and was the difference maker, he'd go back too, probably, right? I mean, but you know, to go to a different team, it'd be different. And Tom obviously has his big Fox gig. How do you think Tom's going to do with that?
I think whatever Tom does, he wants to be the best at it. Like even yesterday's roast, when it was his turn to talk, like he wanted to defeat everyone. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to get all of you back now. So like, that's the mindset that he has. And from what I've heard and from what I've read from a bunch of the media people who cover this stuff, like he's been preparing now all year, whether it's with Eric Burkhardt doing exhibition games and then studying other people who have been in his position. Like he's taking this very seriously, and he kind of has to because he's the number one team for Fox and they're paying him a ridiculous amount of money, the most ever, by almost double of what the next person gets. So he's going to try to be the best at it. I've kind of wondered, like, how is it going to sound with Tom Brady in the booth? Because he's never come across as a high energy type of a guy. So I don't know how that's going to be, but I'm kind of excited for it. Like some people tell me like, oh, we watched the game to watch the game. We don't really care who's in the booth. I'm not that type of a guy. I care who's in the booth and who's calling the game. And I'm really curious to see how Tom Brady does, because I think people are going to critique it right away from game number one.
Well, we don't care from our quote war room who's broadcasting game, because we don't even have the sound on, right? We're just watching all the games. But I think it'll be interesting. I think he'll prepare hard. My only worry is if you go by his public speaking, not counting the roast last night, which he did a great job, the Jim Gray podcast stuff, it's pretty bland. It's pretty dry. So I don't know how that's going to go. All right, Ari, thank you for the time. What else you got going on here that you want to talk about or anything? I've taken a little longer than I planned to, but it's always fun chatting with you. Anything else you want to talk about or bring up or promote?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone could obviously see my work on Twitter, the Twitter account, or X now. The account to follow is at My Sports Update, and all my work is on the 3013.com, my articles, my videos. You know, I've been there for now 2 years, and we have a lot of former GMs, former coaches, current players, former players, giving their analysis on everything. So you could check that out as well. And I'm always appreciative of you and everything that you do. Like I've been following you for many years now, and I've gotten to know you for many years now, and you were the first person to officially discover my my face on a podcast. So a lot of respect for everything that you do.
Well, and I'm going to add one more feather to your cap, Ari, in the sense that I like the 33rd team. I like that concept. I fell into when I started doing some media, National Football Post, which was kind of X's, right? So X team position, you know, there was a lot of X people that were on it. The 33rd team is a great concept, but the best thing I could say about you is you're the only one at the 33rd team that wasn't on a team, and yet you're very successful and you're the lead guy. So kudos for breaking that, right? That's got to be pretty special. You're working with all these guys that worked in the league, are all these insiders. Well, you're an insider now, but the 33rd team was premise was that everyone was on a team before, right? And they're created a new team, but yet you're the their draft pick. So congratulations on getting that gig. That is fantastic.
I appreciate that. My pitch was I got to cover all 32 teams, including every single person on the staff. So that should be
there. You go. I like that. See, that's where you get the big bucks. All right, Ari, thank you very much. We'll take a quick break and we'll finish up with the rest of the regular Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. All right, welcome back to part two of the Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast. Great to have Ari on. Taylor's here with me. Come to think of it, Taylor, I mean, we've had some firsts. So Ari was the first that came out with us. You know what else? There's two other people that come to mind. Freezing Cold Takes.
Yep.
He came on with us, and he said it was the first time on a podcast or publicly. And another one, David Binn, who we mentioned earlier.
That was his first one.
That was his first podcast. Okay. David Binn, the all-time most game Charger guy, long snapper, et cetera.
Not in the podcast game, yeah.
Not in the podcast game. And how about, speaking of long snappers, how about Lonnie Paxson getting some love at the Brady Roast?
Name shout out, yep.
Yeah. Randy Moss shouting him out. That's pretty good. Actually, I didn't even notice him there because he had his hat on. It was low. Kind of thing. Maybe that's the next guest we should have on. Have Lonnie back on here. He's a part of the Sports Injury Central team. Let's have Lonnie on, and he'll give us the real scoop behind the scenes. You know, was Tom really mad at that? What was the deflate gate? I mean,
he had the facial expressions. I don't know if he was actually mad. Yeah.
There we go. Lonnie Paxson will be our next podcast guest here.
Lock him up. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Let's do the rundown. What do we got? Injuries, different sports. By the way, congratulations on the Kentucky Derby thing. The team.
That worked out real well, right?
Look, I'm not familiar enough with horse racing. Can you bet like a not top 10 finish? I don't know. He finished 15th or fierceness, right?
You do like the draft picks, right? Like over under, like where is he going to land?
Yeah, I don't know. But it was good physiology analysis to say that he wasn't going to do so well. And obviously did not. Pre-race favorite, obviously finished 15th. All right, what else we got here? NBA.
Yeah, second round of NBA, right? Hockey as well. So starting with NBA, a lot of injured teams have been knocked off, right? Jimmy Butler out now. Giannis and Dame are both not out, are out of the playoffs now. So the healthier teams are starting to come to the rise of the top. Big injury that's happening right now for the Celtics we wrote about is one of the soleless calf injuries is Porzingis. What do you see him playing through the Pacer? Through the Celtics series next? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think soleus is part of the gastrocnemius soleus complex. It's certainly not. It's not Achilles, and we made that special video. And he's so long that I think he can.
It's a unicorn.
Yeah, that he can play. I think he could play towards the end of this round, but not full unicorn style driving everything, but he can get shots off if they need it.
He's a big man that can shoot threes. Would he rely more on the threes than like driving?
The threes than driving, but he still certainly can be effective. So I expect him back late round two and maybe full go the round after that kind of timeline. So, you know, obviously if it goes four games and done, he might not make it back. But if it goes seven, I'd be surprised that he's not back in some capacity.
Another big injury in that series is the center from the Cavaliers, Jared Allen. He has a rib injury, and they're saying he's having trouble lifting his arm above his body. Missed the last two games. We don't have much thoughts on how severe the injury is, but I mean,
I don't know. I didn't see any video, but let me tell you, in football, we'd just do a rib block, intercostal nerve block, and he'd play. Could you do that in basketball? It's not typically done. I don't know if you probably realize this because you've been with us for a while, but football is the only sport that the team physician, and actually multiple, travels to every away game.
Right.
Basketball, come playoffs, team docs start to travel. And I mean, can you imagine, even in the NHL, the hockey team doc does not travel.
No.
Part of it is, remember, the team doc has a full-time day job. And, you know, the number of games would kill you, right? To be on the road away from your practice, et cetera.
Yeah.
But come playoffs, they usually do go. So if it's something that there can be a rib block for the Cavs to center to play, that might happen. If not, he's going to be out 10 days, you know, before he's not as sore. So we'll have to see if they can do the rib block and get him back to playing.
Another big injury is Jamal Murray from the Denver Nuggets. He's dealing with a calf injury. Playing through it, he dropped 30-plus points a game before. The first game of the series against Timberwolves, he did not play well. That's something you're thinking is going to linger, right? This is not something that's going to go away.
Yeah, this is going to be an issue.
He's a point guard, right? Driving and everything.
That type of style of play. I think this is going to be a continued issue. This will be, how about this? This will be a bigger issue in the series than the Timberwolves head coach Dave Finch and his patella tendon. I mean, he was there at the game behind the scorer's table. I
saw the comments he made. Yeah.
Unorthodox, but I mean, the injury that most affects the outcome of the series is Jamal Murray, not the head coach. He'll be around, and he'll be in that knee immobilizer for the rest of the playoffs, really.
I'm going to baseball. There's a big injury. This is another, we were talking about elbow inflammation, and there are many words they use. Musgrove is on due to tendonitis in his elbow. They said it's precautionary, but you've seen these words you thrown around. That's not always the case.
Look, I hope it's precautionary. Like, we worry about it, right? And what really is it? Anytime you hear elbow, you have to have some worry. Obviously, you know, I'm a San Diego guy. And as a matter of fact, the next game my son is dying to go to is May 14th, Tuesday, the Joe Musgrove bobblehead night.
Oh, yes.
With his dog, right?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes.
Bobblehead night. My son loves, he's 11, he loves the bobblehead nights. So Joe Musgrove is obviously going to be, well, he wouldn't necessarily pitch on his day, bobblehead night anyways. That's just a random deal, but he won't be active. He won't, he'll be on IL still, May 14th.
I had a Yu Darvish bobblehead, Doc, from last year, and my cat just broke it, actually, recently, and just fell and knocked the head off. So
off with his head.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
No, Joe Musgrove, this is a little bit of worry, just when everyone's excited about Luis Arias' arrival.
Well, this is Darvish is also on IL, too.
Darvish is back.
Is he back? Okay, he just returned from his neck, so this is probably good back.
Darvish is back. Musgrove out. Darvish is back. I think this Luis Arias kid is going to be a little media darling here. He's, you know, I saw his one interview. He speaks well, the whole deal.
What do you think about the Padres? Because I feel in the start of the season, there is, like, you know, the money troubles, right? One of their best, you know, people just died recently, right? So there's a lot going on. And then they trade for one of the best pitchers in the White Sox, Cease, and then they get Arias. It seems like they're flipping the script and actually trying to win, maybe.
My understanding is GM AJ Preller. I mean, Miami's paying a lot of Arias' contract.
Yes, yeah.
So this might be a brilliant move by the Padres GM, getting a 300 hitter on the cheap.
Right. Next I wanted to talk about, Doc, is so Stephen Kwan, there's a couple players that are dealing with these hamstring injuries. They're saying it's he's staying while running a fly ball 3 to 4 weeks. Is that something that he could be a little bit longer than a month? He's a speed guy, runs the bases, contact hitter.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, you know. They're opening it 3 to 4 weeks. It obviously could extend longer, because last thing you want to do is to bring him back a game too early and then re-aggravated. So definitely something to watch.
So I wanted to take get your thoughts, Doc. We were talking with Ari before. What were your top moments from the Tom Brady roast?
Well, I mean, I guess I haven't seen a lot of roasts. I enjoyed it. Okay. I mean, I thought, I don't even know what her name is, that comic, the female comic, when she said,
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah. Nikki Glaser, yeah. When she was talking about crypto and that Gronk saying, me know that not real money. Poor Gronk. I mean, he got a lot of ribbing, and that was just friendly fire from other people.
Well, that's the one thing I saw you mention is that, so when you're on those roasts, when you get told, or you're the one of the people that are on the stage, you know, one of the people that are going to roast, you're open to getting roasted as well. So that's how all the roasts are. So if you're one of the roastees, I guess you're one of the eight, or I guess roasted besides the host, I guess. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, whether there was an agreement ahead of time not to go after Robert Kraft or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something we'll have to ask Lonnie Paxson if he knows when he comes on. But I could see Tom Brady saying, first of all, it's always Mr. Kraft, right? He's kind of a father figure. And the guy is not on the stage. Like, right. Like Kim Kardashian got roasted some, but she came on stage to speak. Kraft wasn't a roaster. He wasn't on stage. He came up to do a shot. Okay. That's just a little audience participation. I'd say I could see why he's potentially a little bit off limits besides being an older guy and respect and like Tom, you know. But if you're on the stage, you know you're going to get roasted, right? I mean, it's like if you go to a comedy act, if you're just sitting there minding your own business, you might get one barb from the comedian, but you shouldn't really be attacked. But if you're heckling the comedian, you can get blasted, right?
Yes.
And so all these people that are on stage are volunteering to get blasted.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, kind of deal. So I thought it was good. You know, I think overall it was fun. I haven't seen a roast in a while. And let me tell you something. It definitely was very off color, and there was nothing off limits. I mean, you know, there was a lot of things that if not for a roast that people would have gotten canceled for. So, I mean, I thought it was different. I mean, like I said, I had to turn it off because of the too much language and
my little one
was paying too much attention, but I enjoyed the part that I watched. It was good.
Just to wrap it up, do we make Tom Brady the Beast of the Week for being brave enough to do that? I mean, they haven't done a roast in a while. There's been a lot of, you know, there's a lot of comedy changes and stuff, but he was the first one to do it. So in recent years.
Yeah, I'd make him a Beast of the Week. I mean, he took a lot of shots. I mean, there obviously the Giselle stuff and you know, he took a lot of shots, but I mean, he could take it. I thought he did. Fine. I mean, Gronk is fine. He can take it. I could see why they got sensitive about Kraft a little bit, you know. And the interesting thing is, you know, Aaron Hernandez was not off limits.
Yeah, there was nothing off limits. Yeah,
you know, he certainly wasn't there to defend himself. I mean, Kraft didn't put himself in the spotlight. He was just attending in support. So I could see where you go. That's just an audience member not heckling.
Right.
You can make one comment at them, but you probably don't want to go too hard at them. All the other roasters, they gave it and they took it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, even Kevin Hart, right? He was a butt of a lot of jokes, et cetera. But you have to understand that that's coming, I would think. I didn't see too much else about our guy Lonnie. Did anyone?
No, I didn't. I just saw his name. Yeah, dropped, like we said. Two other beasts I had. So we had a couple of hockey injuries that they both players actually managed to play through. Austin Matthews played game 7, minutes were cut, and he didn't play like he usually does, and they ended up losing game 7 in overtime. And then Adam Fox from the Rangers, he did play game 1, he had an assist, but also, like we said, defensively, he had some bad shifts. So,
well,
beast for playing, right? But
beast of the week for playing, there's no question. I mean, Austin Matthews was not 100%, Fox not 100% either. That's why I say hockey is hard, because it happens so quick. And did the skate release right before a more significant injury or after? And the uniforms are so baggy, you don't really get to see the knee,
right?
Like we do in football, et cetera, or basketball, right? So hockey is a little bit harder, not to mention majority of stuff is along the board. So you may not even have a clean camera angle a lot of times.
All right, I guess that's it. Follow everything at sixscore.com. We're going to have a promo this week, Friday to Sunday, extending it a little bit, and we're going to encompass every single sport. So be in tune. We have a bunch of injury angles in baseball and everything going forward.
Yeah, and then we'll have more football news, et cetera. Great job in Kentucky Derby. You've been killing basketball. We've been killing basketball with the injury stuff and the guarantees. Overall, good news in the football world as people return, right? We talked about some of those Rodgers completely cleared, Cousins. Deshaun Watson should be fine. Richardson is fine. The one big worry, big name person that we're still continually worried about, even though you hear good reports, is a running back, Nick Chubb.
Yeah,
I just don't see Nick Chubb being... Look, if you told me Nick Chubb is 90% of himself next season, I would say take it. 90% of himself this season, I would say pretty near impossible. But we'll see. Hopefully we're proven wrong. I want Nick Chubb to do very well, but that was a knee dislocation. So he's progressing. They're using all the right words, but
all positive, but I mean,
all positive. But if he's your dynasty draft guy, let him go. Yeah. Find somebody else.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for watching and listening. Pro Football Doc Podcast, Sports Injury Central. And we'll try and get Lonnie Paxson on next week. He doesn't even know it yet. I'll reach out to him now. We're already promoting it. And he doesn't even know it.
He'll be here.
All right. Thanks for watching and listening.